It's the Benny Randall Show.
Benny
it's
Randall.
The Benny Randall Show. It's oh. The Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Benny Randall.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
In Manhattan, you are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. And this is our monthly spotlight edition for Verke Magazine, where we talk to powerful entrepreneur women who are changing the world, changing their communities, and changing themselves. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com or my private community at BennyOnDemand.com right here on Bashani and Verke Radio all day long, the number one podcasting platform in the world. You hear me? We have Patrice Blankley. I think I said that last name wrong, but we'll get it right. She's a happily retired educator, author, consultant, counselor, entrepreneur, and community leader who utilizes her life experiences to help people of all ages reach their full potential. As a seasoned educator, Patrice taught in the Broward and Miami-Dade County public school systems for a combined total of 16 and a half years. For several years, she served as a volunteer with the I Am Ministries of Miami-Dade and Broward County, working with teen girls, co-facilitating the Divas of Destined for Greatness groups. In addition, she's also co-facilitated a weekly women's group called the Women's Empowerment Hour. In 2011, she was awarded the Women of Empowerment Award. Patrice's motto is simple yet powerful. Be inspired to be yourself. Be inspired to empower someone else. These words not only describe her life, it will one day be the legacy and the messages that she leaves behind in the global community. Patrice inspires millions on her weekly basis with her world-renowned radio show, The Seed Sowing Sister Movement, on Verke Radio. Patrice, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Wow, that's simply amazing. And Patrice is also the author of a brand new book. You want to tell our listeners what that book's called, Patrice?
So the name of the book is called A Daily Dose, A Seed Devotional for Winners. This is a book that gives you moments of God every day where you get to reflect and write about how he's touching you through the words and the actual book and connecting to your daily journal through a journal, journey through a journal. As we get into it, it will give you a chance to see God in every moment of your day and connect it back to what you've read that morning.
That was just powerful when you said moments of God every day. Wow. How many people don't even take time to just have moments of God? Some people just wait for Sundays to recognize and spend time with God. Let me ask you this question right off the bat. Shouldn't God be an everyday thing? Patrice?
Connecting with God should be an every minute thing.
Ooh,
not just an everyday thing. Because he does something for you every second of the day. Every time you take a deep breath, that's God. Every time you reach your hand to touch something, that's God. Every time you have a thought, that's God, because he wants to communicate with you. Every day your goal should be to look for a download, a message, a connection with him in everything you do.
Patrice, I'm about to walk up to the offering and just give my offering date right now, because you preaching up in here already. We just started, okay? I love it. So what inspired you to write this book, A Daily Dose?
So this book actually was inspired as a twofold. At this point in life, I had a girlfriend who was going through a very, very bad bout of cancer, who ultimately passed away. And what I started doing for me, as well as the rest of our circle, I would always read every day, but I got to the point I would start writing down little things and sending out to keep us all encouraged, as well as her family. And I would send out little words of encouragement every day and say, you know what, we're going to make it through this. This is not going to be the end. No matter how God answers our prayers, it's going to be him answering us and him being glorified in the end. And it just kind of took off, and we just kept doing it and kept sharing with each other. And after a while, it just started going outside of our circle, and other people would say, hey, I'm hearing you're writing words. You want to send that to me or text that to me too? So that's how this got birthed out. And as I kept doing it, it just kept ministering to me even more. Mm-hmm. So it started out as a mission to help someone else, but ended up being really a thing that ministered to me in my moments as well.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. And you know what I love about that particular story is, Patrice, is that it started off solving a problem, and then it began to solve more and more problems for more people. And honestly, some of the greatest things that happen in the world we live in today is when people solve problems. And you were solving a problem of hope and inspiration. And, you know, what happened to your friend, you know, ignited that fire inside. And look at the beauty of this, Patrice. That book will outlive you. When you're gone back to be with God, that book will still be here. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes, it really. Her life touched many people.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so happy that she left a footprint and a blueprint in my life that I could share with others.
And now you're helping many people. Go figure. See how that chain reaction happens. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So let's talk about your time as being an educator. What got you into wanting to educate the most important people in our lives? And that's the youth, the young people, the girls. What got you into wanting to do that?
Well, education was always a childhood dream. I always wanted to go back into my old neighborhood, Norwood, which is now known as Miami Gardens, and I wanted to make a difference in my neighborhood. So that was a five-year-old little girl's dream, to go back and teach in the neighborhood and do good and be something awesome in the neighborhood. As time went on, I realized that not just going back to that one school, but touching other schools made it excited for me. Just having a moment to stop and say, you know what, I want to share something with you. When I got into the field, it wasn't just about the kids, it was about the parents too. Because I saw teachers in my past and teachers that I had experienced who left a fingerprint of love on me through them teaching and touching. And they didn't just touch the kids, they touched families. And that was my goal. I wanted to always touch the full family.
Mm. So you mean from childhood, you always felt like this is part of your calling?
Yes.
Interesting. See, and that's a beautiful thing when you're young and you kind of know where you want to go. And so if I was to ask you, you know, not just with girls, but in boys, what do you find some of the most challenging things about educating our young people nowadays? Because lately I've been hearing a lot of young people have been taking their lives because they feel like they have no one to talk to, no one to turn to, no one to be part of. So a lot of them been taking their lives. Can you elaborate on what you think may be going on?
Well, in the situation with children feeling like they have no one to talk to, I feel like we've gotten so busy that we don't hear our children anymore. We're so busy at this point, we want to make every dollar count and be in different places, but we don't take time for our kids. As I had an opportunity to teach several different grade levels at different points in my teaching career, I would always hear what was going on in the homes because some parents didn't have time to hear. And it's important that we spend that time with our children. It doesn't necessarily have to be the family dinner like we used to have back in the day, but in the car ride, hey, how was your day? What's going on? Anything you want to share? Anything great happened? Anything that wasn't so great today? That's a lot of that. And then also when you talk about the issue of children taking their lives, connection with the correct resources and linking of services, because there are things that have changed. We're in an age now where social media is the new highlight. People get caught up in the Facebook fantasies and doing it for the gram and, you know, doing it for the Vine, that we forget that everybody, that's a snapshot. That's not every day. So we have to learn to have our own little countless moments of joy in every day. And one thing that I started doing for me that helped me start saying, you know what, there's joy in every day, writing it down, little stuff. Even when days don't look so great, writing it down and say, this is the joy that I found today. You spoke about in the area with suicide, giving correct resources in the school and also outside of the community so people would know. So if your child is having concerns or they're saying some things that don't sound exactly right, or you're feeling maybe something's not there, there's nothing wrong with stepping out and getting the services that you need, going and speaking to a counselor. So I'll give an example. In my neighborhood, the only thing I used to hear was, I don't need to go to a counselor. I got Jesus and Oprah. And I would say, I love that you have Jesus and Oprah. This is great. But Oprah's not coming to your house every day, and she is not giving you the keys to what you need to do.
Amen.
And the other part, when people talk about, you know, they have Jesus, I love that. But guess what? God and Jesus and the Lord, they all gave you people here on this earth to help you when you're needed. Mm. That's why he gives you doctors and counselors and therapists and psychologists. This is why he does this.
Amen. You got that right. So, you know, speaking on that, I know we're going out of, but I when I find that somebody really knows this stuff, I like to dive a little deeper into it. And off the mic, we was talking a little something, and you mentioned the fact that, you know, mental health is something that you plan to dive a little bit more into the, and honestly, we're in a society now where we have a lot of that going on. We have a lot of mental health issues. And what I'm finding out, it depends on how much money you got, whether you get help or not. What's your take on that?
Well, money is a factor, but it's not the only factor. There are community resources out there. It's about us going to look. There are some churches who do offer mental health services. But you have to ask. I find that a lot of places, if you don't ask, they won't tell you they offer it. There are a lot of community services providers, mental health community service providers, who will sit down with you and provide services, but you have to ask. So here's a great way you can do. If you're saying, you know what, my money's tight, but I know I want to go talk to somebody. I need to talk to somebody. Me, myself, I encourage everybody. Take the time. Go and see about yourself. It's wonderful. I tell everyone, I enjoy hearing, you know, what needs to be done so I know how to help. So here's how I did it. When I went through my own little issues in years past, I started off, when I went to school, they had an actual place there. These are counselors and therapists that are being in training. So that means you're literally getting the price of two counselors for one. You get someone who's training in the field, who's learning how they can get in and what they can do to help you, and you're getting the expertise of someone who's been in the field for years. I know that all colleges offer this. Sometimes it's free, sometimes it's on a sliding scale, and it shouldn't go more than a few dollars. And then also, you have different places where you can go. You have community support groups you can go to as well, if you're comfortable with that. You have several different options. You also have certain church groups you can use as well.
Mm, very, very, very powerful. So, and the reason why I asked that is because of I just don't think people, and especially in the government, are paying much attention to how much mental illness and mental deficiencies are going on in society. And if you had your way, how could you help the world deal with mental illness?
If I had my way, it would be a combination of things I would do. One, I would actually offer services, and I would start at a very young age, elementary. so that children have an understanding that going to a therapist does not label you crazy, does not make you, you know, a problem or issue. It makes you someone who wants to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first piece. Two, I would love to go in and talk with them to the churches and let them know it doesn't make you demonized. It doesn't make you different. Everyone has problems. It's all how it is expressed and displayed out to others to see. So, one, working through the schools. Two, working through the churches. And then three, taking away the stigma or the mystery of, oh, you got to go through therapy. It's nothing wrong with therapy. It's nothing wrong with mental health. That's what keeps a lot of people locked in and in places that they're encased in their own prison because they choose not to go and open up and share with someone that, hey, I've had a past pain, a past trauma, something has happened, and you find yourself still carrying that same pain from 10, 20, 50 years ago because you were too scared to go and seek out services.
Mm, very, very powerful. Now, if I ask you what you want your legacy to be before you leave this planet Earth, what would that be?
My legacy would be I want to touch the world through the word of God. That's my first part. I want to touch it through the word of God and share God's love, not what we think his love is, but what his true love is, the purity of it. When doing that, I want to share him with others. I want them to understand that he loves us so much that as our days go on, whether they're good or bad days, he's never going to stop loving us. Our God is faithful and he never fails. That's my first part of my legacy. My second part of my legacy is to go in and share and take down the walls of mental health stigmatisms and mysteries. Because
mm-hmm.
I want people to know how important it is to take care of yourself, not just in the physical, because I know this is the new year and everybody loves to get physically fit and get their sexy back and their summer body, but you got to have that same kind of effort in your mental health, in your emotional health. What does it look like for you? And let's even go a step further, not just in your mental and your emotional, what it looks like in your spiritual walk. Because I think sometimes we get so caught up on the physical, we forget about those three.
Mm.
You get your emotional, your mental, and your spiritual together, the rest will fall in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of people don't pay attention to when they get it. Because, you know, I believe you have the mind, the body, the spirit, and
yes.
the soul. I believe that if you can cure or at least getting your house in order on the inside, it will start to get your house and life in order on the outside. Does that make sense?
Oh, I definitely agree. Definitely agree. What I started doing for myself that I found that worked really well to keep my mental together, I kept my environment and my home full of praise.
Mm.
So what I would do, I would make it my purpose. When I come into my home, praise music is on. Mm. Worship music is on. Instead of getting caught up in what the day is happening, I'm trying to find ways to thank God within my day. Because, you know, it's easy to complain.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to complain. But what does complaining do? It sets you back. So I want you to think of it like this. Think of yourself walking down the street, and every time you complain, you end up going back two sidewalk blocks every time.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to not get to be pulling yourself back with your mouth. The goal is to prepare yourself with your mouth and speaking those words and things you want to see. The Bible tells you to speak things as though they are not. So that means whatever you see right now happening, if it's good, you keep speaking that good. But even if it's not good, you still speak that good. And I'll give a great example that someone gave me some years ago. There was a lady at my mother's church. Her husband was out there doing all this kind of stuff. And every night she would speak to this man and say, "You're a faithful man of God. You're an awesome man. You're so faithful. Oh, I love having a husband like you. You just know the word." This woman spoke this for years over her husband. Meanwhile, he is doing everything under the sun. But 20
okay.
years later, this man, when he finally did give his heart to the Lord, he gave his heart to the Lord so strong, he's dragging her to church now every day.
Wow.
So it's an awesome thing when you can see how when you start speaking the word, when you start keeping yourself surrounded in the Word with an atmosphere of praise, when you start being in prayer. And here's the big thing about prayer, because I think people get that so caught up and you have to be spooky. No, you don't. Prayer is a conversation with God. And here's the biggest piece. If you allow Him in prayer to talk back to you, it will clear up a lot of things in your life for you.
That's the piece
we don't want to do. We think prayer is a one-sided dialogue, a one-sided conversation.
Like, give me, right? Instead of, why am I here to offer and surrender, correct?
No, He wants to know, how can you serve me today? You know how we used to go to fast food restaurants and the people order a good restaurant and they say, how may I help you? How may I serve you? We should have that same attitude when we go into prayer for the Lord. How can I be your servant today? What can I do for you? Because here's the thing.
No, go ahead. Because you finish your thought, but I got to say something. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
If we walk into the attitude of how can I serve you today with the Lord, guess what He'll do for you during that day? If you go and serve Him, He'll come back and He'll serve you. So it'll be a revolving circle of serving. And in the midst, while you're serving Him, He's serving you. That means while you're serving and doing whatever you need to do, whether it's to get your community together, helping at your church, helping with your children, He's going to be saying, you know what? I love that they're doing this, so I'm going to add some more over here. I see that they can handle this, so I'm going to give them some more over here. Oh, she had a concern about her bill, but guess what? I'm going to pay that bill plus more over there. Because she came with a servant's attitude and heart.
Wow, that is so powerful. And I love that. How can I serve you? Man, let me tell you something. I'm just getting chills as I just talk to you right here in this, on this show. It's only just me, you, and a few million people. So, but I tell you, this is a very, very powerful. Just in case you're just joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show, and this is the Verke Magazine issue episode where we talk to powerful women, you know, who are changing their lives, changing the lives that they come across, and changing the world that they live in. And Patrice is one of those people. Let me ask you this. When you said, how can I serve you? It was like that. It's such a powerful sentence, but yet so few people say it. Even when it comes to relationships, Patrice, most people go in with the mindset, what can you do for me? Never, what can I do for you? How do we get people to that? And speaking of that, that's the first question. The second question is, how do we change this environment we're in right now? It seems to be a very volatile and hostile environment. And they say it usually starts from the top and, you know, and filters down based onto those who, you know. One thing I learned, Patrice, you can only go to the right or to the left. There is no middle. So either you're going to see it that way or you're going to see it the other way. How can we bring down this toxic energy that's just happened to be, you know, sometimes social media amplifies it. You know what I mean? And, you know, people say the resident, you know, I don't call him the president. That's just my personal opinion. The resident, he started all this. But no, I don't believe he started this. I believe he simply amplified what was already there. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't come in and just start this. It was already there, but it was more of a hush-hush. Now he amplifies it, and almost like somebody turned on the microphone. And now you can hear what you already knew. How do we change that type of energy?
I'm going to go back. I'm going to answer your second question first, then I'll go back to the relationships.
No problem.
So the second question, people always say, well, oh, you know, he started this and the president did this and that. No, he didn't do this and that. Let me tell you what he did. He basically took kitchen table talk and made it mainstream right in front of you.
Oh, preach,
girl. These are things that people do in their homes when no one is looking, when no one thinks you can hear it. This is what people say in their car when they think no one can hear it. And here's the piece about it. He was just, I hate to say it, but he was bold enough to put it front stream. And now you realize who's been at the table doing it.
Ooh.
And here's the part people don't get. It doesn't look like who you think it would look like. Because a lot of people with these same kitchen table talk mentalities are not who you all think they are.
I'm sorry, the church gonna have to get some hand claps up in here. because you are breaking it down, Patrice. I ain't know you get down like this. I listen to your show, but it's a different thing when somebody talking to you, because usually you just get on your show and you just talk to the people and you let them know. But to be talking back and forth to you, ooh, you on fire, sister. All right. Let's go ahead. I ain't mean to interrupt you, but let's continue. I love how you said this. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to really pay attention to what Patrice said. She said this is kitchen table talk that has already been going on. He simply made it mainstream. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts, too. That hurts because it is so truthful. Go ahead, sister.
Along with this, you talked about how do we change the dynamic. You change what's happening in homes first. If I've been conditioned, or this is what I've been raised with, and you have to remember, as we talked about, I'm going to go back to that kitchen table talk. Kitchen table talk doesn't stop with just one generation. It goes on from generation to generation. So now that means there has to be some changes in how we rear the generations, what we say at the table, how we come to the table. Because a lot of us don't get that anymore. We think it's okay, it's cool. And here's the part that I have an issue with social media. Social media makes it okay to be a background bully. And instead of them stopping and saying, you know what, if I was standing face to face with this person, would I truly say that?
And most
would I
of
really
them,
carry on like that?
Most of no. them, the answer would be no.
I guarantee you 95% would be no. Because as you see these things people say and that they do online, you know doggone well, if you met them in the store or you met them on your job, they would be the sweetest person. And you'd be like, well, what happened to the Facebook one that had all these comments? where are you at? Because I guarantee you, you're not doing it at your job.
Oh, you calling some people out of it here, huh? You
let's
ain't
be
playing.
Honest.
Oh,
oh no, that's just me. I don't do that. We going to call it all out. You're not doing it at your job. I guarantee you, when you go out into the public, you're not coming out with that crazy, especially if you're in the food industry and somebody fixing your food. You're like, hey, you know what? How you doing today? You feeling good? Because you're trying to make sure they don't spit in your food.
Exactly.
Or worse.
Like they say, you never fight with somebody who preparing your food.
Never. So that's one part. But how do you change it? You change what's going on in the home. It starts from there. And here's the big piece. Until it affects your home, that's when the change starts. And we have to learn that, guess what? My home is not just my house. It's a global thing. It is my community that I am in. It is the people that I choose to connect with. Here's what I have discovered for me, myself, personally. Who I felt my community would look like for me has made a total 360 turn. I am now connected with people in ways and streams that I would never think that I would connect with.
So explain that. Elaborate a little bit on that.
When I talk about that, I mean, there are people that I assumed at my younger age and stage of life, I said, oh, well, if they don't look this way, that's not who I'm going to connect with. Or if they don't talk this way, or if they're not from this neighborhood, I'm not going to deal with them. But guess what God did for me? He started putting me in places that I was so uncomfortable that it forced me to change and grow and be better and stop looking at the outer wrapping and start seeing their heart, start listening more to what they were saying. That's the first part. We have to learn to be okay with being uncomfortable, being comfortable in the uncomfortable. There you go. We have to learn to be comfortable in that space. Because sometimes, and I'm going to be very honest with you, most times your real growth, your real development, your real training day, training ground is going to be where you're not comfortable at all. It's going to be moments when you want to say, no, you know what, this is not for me. But guess what? God's going to say, yes, it is for you. Go ahead on it now. So you're the only Hispanic young man or young woman in that boardroom. That's okay. I'm using you to change the element and the atmosphere in that room. He may say to you, you're the only Caucasian woman in there, but that's okay. Guess what? I placed you in there to make a difference, and your voice does count. So don't get there and start quieting up and shouting and getting small. I didn't call you to get small. I called you to come up and come out. He may say to you, you're the only sister in that place. Nobody else understands? That means you're the standard, sweetie. I'm using you to show them what to do and how to do it. It's about making those moments and being uncomfortable, getting comfortable in your uncomfortable so that you can make a change and turn what would be a toxic place or what used to be a toxic place into a God-filled place. that doesn't just show him on the Sunday morning and then you turn into a Monday morning whiner, but showing him every day in different ways. Because guess what? He may show up for your coworker who may say, you know what, I'm really tired. Do you mind taking or doing this for me a little extra? Sometimes you may have to go a little extra to change some ways. I have to say, for me, he's definitely done some things for me to make me see things differently. The coworker that guess what he did for me? He made that one be right there with me so I could change up some things, because it wasn't about her. It was about me being changed.
That's true. Okay, cool. Hey, we got to take a quick break. Let me tell you something. This is on fire. This show is usually only 30 minutes, but let me tell you something, Patricia, you are dropping it so hard. I feel like you are cross between Al Sharpton and Martin Luther King with them one-liners you've been dropping. Okay. Like, people wouldn't know this if they didn't hear that. Girl, you got to do more of this interview stuff, because I'm telling you, you are dropping it here. Now, I listen to your show and you do be going up, but I think it's just even a more powerful energy when you have someone to combat back and forth with. Woo! Let me tell you something. You listening to the Benny Randa show, I hope it's almost like the Patrice show. I know, but you know what I mean? But it is what it is. We'll be right back after this short break.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
You're listening to The Benny Randall Show, certified number one in the world on BashaniRadio.com, New York City. So nice, they named it twice.
Very powerful. Thank you. You are listening to The Benny Randall Show right here on Bashani Radio, brought to you by Just Mercy, the new powerful film out in theaters January 10th. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen. I had the beauty to see a private screening with Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx. And let me tell you something, this movie is one of the most powerful stories you ever going to see in a long time. So make sure you go out and check out Just Mercy in theaters on January 10th. It's one of those movies, man, that should be mandatory viewing for you and family members. And trust me, it is family friendly. There's no sexual stuff in there, et cetera, et cetera. So it is family friendly, and it's a very powerful, powerful, extraordinary movie done by. And the beauty is it, the story in which it's based on, I don't want to give it away, but that guy is still alive. You know what I mean? And he was at the private screening. So it was good to see the person whom this story was based on. And I'm telling you, Jamie Foxx and Michael B. Jordan, they really, really did it. So make sure you go out and check that out. That's Just Mercy, and support the people that support you right here on Bashani Radio. We're talking to Patrice, man. I'm going to tell you something. This show usually goes for like 30 minutes for when we're speaking to these. But I'm going to tell you, we already passed that, because Patrice been dropping it like it's hot. You hear what I say? And I mean, she been dropping so many one-liners. I'm going to have to write some of these down. Just in case you didn't, you can always go back, because you can hear this worldwide. That's on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, Bashani Radio, Verke Radio, wherever you listen to powerful podcasts, you can find us there. Or you can just ask Siri to play it, and she'll do it right for you. She's cool too. All right, it's not a game, it's a lifestyle, like we always say. Patrice, whew, I'm telling you, you said this microphone on fire, girl. I mean, I had to get a fire extinguisher or something to just cool it down a little something. All right, but Patrice, I think a lot of people
can go back and answer your other question.
You bet you can.
You asked earlier about relationships. You said, how can we change the culture of relationships?
Yes, ma'am.
Two things have to happen. We have to go back to learning how to court instead of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, wham, bam, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part we have to do is learn how to be open to being a servant in your relationship. We forget that part. A relationship is about two people coming together to make this world better, not about you getting a new pair of red bottoms, not about you being able to get the house on the hill. It's about two people coming together with the ministry of marriage to change the look of marriage.
Mm.
For so many years, we've seen the look, and I'll just speak for the churches that I've been encountered with. We've seen the little old couple that's here. They've been married for 60, 70 years, but you don't know the story behind that. We love to see the couples with the matching shirts, but we don't know the story behind it. It's time to understand, and in order to get those 60 and 70 years, you've got to say, how can we work in this thing together? Trust me, you might see her in red bottoms today, but that's not where she started year one. You might see them in a big house today, but that's not where they started year one. So we just have to get back to learning how to be in the courting phase. And once you get married, you never stop courting. You don't just have date nights. You find ways to make your spouse's day better every day.
Mm. That's very, very powerful.
Like.
And now that we're going deep into this, I seen a post today. You know, I usually lead my questions from one question to the other, and you just been dropping it so hot right here. It's like, you know, speaking on the language of love and speaking on relationships, like you was just saying. I seen a post here, and it struck me. Very powerful. I want you to read. I want to read, and it's talking about how men, how women should just take a step back and pay attention to a little bit more of when men and strong men. Here's what the young lady said. She said, "Men don't always express in words the heavy burdens they carry. Believe it or not, small gestures like hugs, shoulder massages, for even a minute or two, scalp rubs, kisses on the face, an enthusiastic smile when you first see us in peaceful silence can be a powerful healing. If he chooses to speak about what's bothering him, just listen without judging him, challenging him, or criticizing him. Or he may clam up and decide to keep it to himself. Recognize the massive gift he is offering you by allowing you to see his vulnerability. Most men spend a lifetime hiding and protecting the shy boy within them, for they've been taught that at a point he should be put away, for he's been outgrown. That boy survives through hidden within all men, hoping to one day identify the spirit that he can connect with, safely venturing into the open within their private space to release some of the immeasurable pressure that would have built into the worldly him due to his life's journey, situation, and expectations. This venturing out happens within his safe and coveted place and space that he finds only with her. Men are human too, and don't only want to touch when it leads to sex. They desire intimacy, comfort, and acceptance just as a woman do. They love sex, but it also needs simple kindness and connection. Kindness, affection doesn't make them soft, needy, or weak. It simply recharges them and keeps them strong." I read that to you because I know what I think about it. I'm curious. What is your thoughts on that?
So as you read that, the first thing that came to my mind was in 1 Samuel chapter 25, David and Abigail. And the story, for those who don't know, let me do a little quick little story background for you. So Abigail is married to Nahum. Nahum, who is known as a fool in the Bible. He's hot-tempered, quick-tempered. David goes out asking for some time in the pasture to help look over some stuff. He comes back with a quick, fiery response, which leads into David getting ready to go and be by the hands. So when he gets here, Abigail kicks into quick action. And the one thing I love about how Abigail handles it is that before she meets David to correct Nathan's misstep, they meet spirit to spirit. She could quickly identify who he was, how to connect with him, and what to say. That's the part we are. We're spirit to spirit. You ever had that moment where you felt like you met somebody before and you were like, wow, I met them before. I feel like I know them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the spirit saying, yes, I know you. I'm checking for you. Me and you've done this.
Wow.
But we have to know how not just to meet that spirit, but how to maintain and govern and steward that relationship with that spirit. Here's what we tend to do. Because it is societal, we tell our young boys, oh, you shut up and cry before I give you something to cry for. We love to tell our boys that.
Oh, yeah.
So they become men who are hardened, who don't find that they can be honest with their person, who don't feel like they can tell what's going on. Very rarely do you find men who do that. And I have to say it's sad, because when we lock these feelings away in these men, we tear apart a very necessary, vital, and vulnerable part away from our relationships and connections. We are to be our man's safe space, safe place. Not just in the home, but when he walks out the door in the morning and you say, honey, I know you can do this. You spoke about that little kiss when you first see him. Do you know that one little kiss? If you do it right, I can get you a range over, girl. I'm just saying. Okay. But, hey, if you do it right, you can get your range, girl. You can get that to Toyota. Okay, I ride the Toyota, but you at least get your upgrade. Just being able to let your man know that you appreciate him and being able to share. And here's another piece on both sides of the fence. Knowing that the intimacy that you two share stays between you two. Let people be able to see, wow, there's something different in you, but not be able to touch the hand of the mystery in you too. Many times we get there, we feel it's not the right thing to do. I got to show him I'm the woman in charge. No, baby, that's not what the Bible said for you. You're supposed to be the helper. That means before you jump out to do anything, you and him have already discussed, you know how y'all are going to do, and you're moving to help you all be fruitful together. That's why it's called a ministry of marriage and not a contract in marriage. Now, I will say, because we've had so many men move away from the home and no longer the head, we've forgotten that. But it's time for our men now to reclaim their place, reclaim their space. Put your crowns on, men.
Mm.
This is you. You're the king of this.
You better.
We can only be the queen if you stand up and be the king you're called to be.
Mm. Very,
but trust
very
me,
powerful.
I'm glad.
So
I want to see you in your kingly role.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't want to be that role.
I want
to be the queen.
I want to expand on this, Patrice. Because you just dropping it down. We're going to get it all out you before this hour's over. We can't do it all in an hour, but we're going to get all we can get right now, y'all. Because, you know, Patrice don't usually be doing all these interviews. So we're going to get it all where we can get it right now. You know, she said, how may I serve you? Well, here we go. So let me ask you, Patrice, you know, the reason why I brought you to that, because we was talking about the energy, and I just feel like people don't talk anymore. You know, this is why I actually, you know, when I created this network, I wanted to create a space where people can talk and have conversations about many different topics, because, you know, I forgot that word. It's some big word that people, we're not mono something. I don't know. When all people are not exactly the same. But I feel like social media has caused people not to talk to each other, but to talk at each other. Communication seems to be losing. Like we're losing that human touch. You know what I mean? You know, I could see people, Patrice, I know you've seen this. You see three or four people, friends, walking down the street together, and they're all on their phones. And they're walking together. Like, why are they walking together if they're just all on their phones? Do you feel like we are losing that communication? Therefore, that's why people are becoming a little bit less empathetic.
We're losing the communication because we no longer take the time to connect anymore. And it started with social media. But when we got it to the point where it was in your hand and you could text, I could text you anything via text. I can tell you my life is wonderful and still be crying on the other end of the phone.
Mm.
One thing my grandmother would do when I was little, and I didn't really grow up with a lot of technology, but I love it because it's something I do with my friends now. And it's funny because they laugh at me. She would always call and say, "Hey, my beautiful black doll." I would say, "Hey, Grammy." She would say, "I just want to hear your voice."
Mm.
We've gotten to the point we don't want to hear no one's voice. Do you realize on a daily basis, there are people who can go for weeks and don't talk to a person because all they got to do is type?
Absolutely. Which is why this is why I love the network, that I love talking. And I actually don't like all the texting. I want to connect with you, because it's just like right now. I feel a deeper connection with you as an individual than I did just listening to your show. Why I say that? Because I got to hear you respond versus just hearing you speak. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
I totally get it.
Your show is excellent, and I listen to it all the time, but there's a different element when you get to respond versus just speaking. And that's the point I'm going to when it comes to like the world we live in. It's like people, you know, social media has done what the remote control has done for television, is made people lazy in communicating with each other, you know, because when you got a remote control, how many times you will walk around the house looking for the remote control instead of just change your channel? The TV,
yeah, I like that analogy.
Exactly. The TV is right in front of you, but you will walk around the entire house looking for the remote control instead of just going to the television and changing the channel. You see what I'm saying? So, and that's what people do today. You said people can go months texting each other and never actually pick up the phone. That's really sad.
So, to me, I want to say this, and I'm encouraging someone to do this today. Pick up the phone. That person you haven't heard from, that strong girlfriend, that strong guy friend that's always got it together, call them today. Don't wait for the text. Call. Pick up and say, "You know what? You've been on my mind. You've been on my heart. What's going on with you?" You might be surprised what you hear on the other end. Mm. If there's somewhere that you're going and you just say, "You know what?" Because I know a lot of people, you know, they don't like that drop by thing. You know, that was my thing years ago. Don't drop by and announce. But some people, you may have to do a drop by. You may have to.
I mean, but it is true, though. You just want people just showing up at your house.
I had a thing about that years ago, so I'm going to just put that on out there. but I find
let
that.
Let it flow, Patrice. Don't be up here hiding. Let it flow.
For someone who cares about you, that drop by won't be a problem, because they'll know that you truly care. They'll know that you took the time to say, "Girl, you know, guy, I ain't heard from you. What's going on?" Because it's coming from a genuine place.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. If you dropping by, don't be worried about what the clothes on, what the kids doing. What's going on with you? How can I help you? Again, going back to that, how can I help you? How can I serve you? That's the mentality we have to have. And if you want to even go a little deeper, think about Jesus for a second. When Jesus came to come on this earth to go to Calvary, he didn't stop and say, "Oh, what y'all going to do for me?" He didn't do none of that, because he knew at that point we were so lazy and unloving and not feeling it that we were like, "Bump you." But what we do see is all the way through his walk from birth out, he had a "how can I serve you" spirit. How can I serve you mentality? Even in the healings, he had a "how can I serve you" mentality. He didn't do it for the gram. Can you imagine Jesus? Let me just break this down real quick. Can you imagine Jesus in current day going around doing miracles? He'd have been caught within the first 2 days because somebody would have put it on camera. He'd have been caught. He'd have been on Hip Hop Star, everybody.
Lady, hold up. I would you hold this thought? Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to know, I just want you to understand what just happened here. Historically, this has never been ever done from any radio show I've ever heard. Patrice out loud said, "Jesus wouldn't do it for the gram." That is so powerful. You don't even realize how powerful what you said. And it's true, because that's the society we live in right now. And they would try to put him into that box. If Martin Luther King were here, they will want him to do it for the gram. You know what I mean? And that's just so
whatever
powerful.
Whatever leader that you would find now, they would be so powerful. They wouldn't have the level of power because everything would be watered down. It would constantly be out. Mm-hmm. Constantly out into the scene. So nobody would be able to really see how deep the miracle was, how big the miracle was. When you think about the different people, and let's think about Jesus on his way to the cross. If we had to go through that and talk about doing it for the gram now, Jesus would have made it to the cross. He'd have like bumped y'all the first 2 days. I'm just being real. Because if he had to go on and hear and see these comments and questions, he'd be like, man, forget this. But because he was so loving for us, he stopped and said, I'm going to do it for him anyway. I know how they're going to cut up. I know how they're going to mistreat me. I know how they're going to talk about me, how they're going to do me. But he did it anyway.
Wow.
We have to have that same mentality. Despite what go on, I'm going to do it for him anyway. Despite how they treat me, I'm going to do it for them anyway. That's the kind of mentality he had for us. Why we can't have it for him.
And that is so, so powerful. Wow. That is so powerful. We're coming down to the last 10 minutes. Do you believe we were supposed to be on here for 30 minutes? We already at the 50 minute point. But Patrice been just breaking it down. You hear me? When I tell you this is like an exclusive here, you don't even understand how she, this sister, broke it down right here. She going to have some fire for y'all when y'all hear this. All right. And the beauty of, you could just rewind it because she dropped so many one liners. You know what I mean? Jesus wouldn't have did it for the gram. Just good. Come on, man. This is Patrice here. If y'all don't know, now you know. So Patrice, let me ask you this then. So what have you got coming up? What's happening new in 2020 for you?
So for 2020, we are working in the Trailblazer series coming out of the Book of Luke. So definitely stay tuned to that. That's going to be the new one coming out this week. Along with that, I'm going to be adding in some new things. I want to be adding in some new speaking engagements. I want to go out and share this word with other people. And I also want to take some time to do some good in the community. I would like to get a chance to go out, talk with some teachers, and actually do some self-care for teachers as well. Get them to know that we still care about you. We know what you're going through, but we want to take a moment to tell you thank you for all that you do.
Mm. So tell our listeners a little bit about, what and where can they find you? And what you have to offer in those things. And when would they be able to see you live and in person somewhere? You know, when would you be doing a workshop or something like that? Where could people go to find out all of this information?
So if you want to find out what's our latest events and where they're going, please connect with us on our Facebook page. I need you to connect with me. Connect with me on my Facebook page. I have a Facebook group that drops little daily doses all through the day. Okay? And I want y'all to connect with me. You can email me because guess what? I want to hear from you. Mm. I want to know, hey, what's going on? How can I connect with you? How can I make your world better? My email is at theseedsowing@gmail.com. Our website is coming together, so I'm looking so forward to that. So I will share that with you all as well because I want you all to be able to connect as well and go from there. If you say, hey, you know what? I want to feed into her. I want to help move her mission and move it forward. Why not drop a few dollars in on my PayPal? The PayPal is the Seed Sowing Sister on PayPal.com. Or you can cash at me. I know y'all can do that too. Y'all can cash at me on the Seed Sowing Sister. Hey, every dollar counts because it makes a difference, not just for you, but for someone else. And that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very powerful. I tell you, man, I immensely enjoyed this conversation. You know, sometimes, you know, because you haven't spoken to that person, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen with that individual when they come on, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but this is one of those pleasant surprises, Patrice. I got to be totally honest. It's that you dropped it, man. I thoroughly enjoy because, you know, I've interviewed thousands of people. And, you know, I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, some people I'd be like, I can't wait till this interview over. You know what I mean? But this was one of those interviews, man. You know, just the fact that you went over 30 minutes, it's like, you know what I mean? Let you know something right there. You really dropped it. And we definitely going to have you back on the show. So if I ask you for 2 or 3 solid points of how people can start to change the world they live in, as we were talking about, we touched on several different subjects, on communications, on faith, on education. So if I ask you for three things that people could start to do in the next 24 hours to start to change the life that they experience, what would you say?
First thing you can do is change your life is get into your word. 5 minutes a day of just being in your word, getting in the word of God, 5 minutes a day, and watch him do some things for you that are out of your, blow your absolute mind. Take those 5 minutes a day. Second thing, look at yourself and say, what do I want to accomplish? Not what people told me I could be, not who they say I am. Who does God say I am? And how can I move toward being that person? Number three, love on yourself. Because if you don't love on yourself, nobody else gonna do it for you.
Mm.
So that would be my three.
Very, very, very powerful. And speaking of loving yourself, we're coming down to the last 5 minutes. Why do people find it, excuse me, why do people find it so hard to do what I find is one of the most powerful exercises you can ever do, and that is to love yourself? Why do people not love themselves? They want to love everything everybody else doing. The only reason we have celebrities because people want to be like them. You know what I mean? Instead of wanting to be the original of themselves, we find so many people want to be a copy of others. Why don't people love themselves?
Because we think the copy is easier. We don't realize that when you're yourself, that's the easiest thing you can be. One thing that I've learned, because I even had that at a point, I was like, oh, you know, this path looks great. That's what I thought. And when I really sat down and talked to the person about their path, I realized, man, I don't want your path. Let me go on back over to me. I had to learn to see the beauty in me. I saw that glory for what their story was that day. I didn't know what all went on behind it.
Wow.
We have gotten to understand that we have a beauty and a glory that comes through us when we are ourselves. And here's the bigger piece. Even if you are a twin, you are not made like anybody else. You might look like them. They may look like you. But you got a different fingerprint. You got a different attitude. You got a different goal to reach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You are unique for a purpose that is powerful.
Do you think society and media causes people to always look outside of themselves for where the beauty's at?
Of course. Society has now made it something that people want to look and say, look at me. Instead of people saying, you know what, look at you. You're awesome in what you do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing. That's definitely amazing. All right, your final words. We got about 3 minutes left, Patrice. Your final words, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts. Catch the Seed Sowing Sister movement. We're making it happen, and I want you to be a part of it. Use this day to see God in a new way. That's my second thought. And my last thought, let's go on out and be great, because you are great. And guess what? Your greatness is now. It no longer awaits.
She said, go. Say, repeat that line again. You say, go out, be great today in a new way. How did you just say that?
All right, let me give it to you again. Let's go out and be great.
Period.
I want you to go on out and be great, because your greatness is now. Understood? Now. Not yesterday, not what's coming around the corner. It's now. And hey, guess what? It's not too late. You can do this.
Amen. Amen. Patrice, I really am humbly grateful that you came on the show today on Mercury Magazine, right here on the Benny Randall Show. And I think that people would have not expected this, because you hold a lot of wisdom and promise. And I'm telling you, sometimes it just takes you to get out of that element so people could really see, you know, what you are really made of. And I appreciate you coming on today. I think this is a good start to the new year, especially with all the new things that you have coming up. And I think it's just an awesome, awesome way to start the year. And I appreciate you coming on Ver-K Magazine.
Well, I thank you very much for having me and just letting me be me.
That's what it's all about. How may I serve you? That was her running theme today. How may I serve you? And ladies and gentlemen, I think she over-delivered, and that's what's important. Make sure you tune into her show on verkradio.com. That's every Monday, worldwide. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and I appreciate you being here. And once again, I hope that we're bringing you conversations that can enlighten, that can inspire, and that can uplift you. And hopefully there was something that Patrice said today that, you know, if she only said one thing that inspires you, motivates you, then do what she said. Allow her words to take hold into your life, because I think she absolutely meant it from the heart. No matter how you look at it, I think she meant it from the heart. And that's what's absolutely powerful when it comes to this right here, ladies and gentlemen. All right. You can learn more about me at BennyRandall.com. This is the Benny Randall Show. This is the Ver-K Magazine edition with our wonderful and powerful guest, Patrice. And Patrice, say your last name, because I butchered it earlier in the interview. Say your last name for me.
B as in Bob, Rantley.
All right, now say it. That's
Brantley.
I said it. She just spelled it. You better listen. Here's the letters to my name, okay? All right, ladies and gentlemen, like always, I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and it's my humble pleasure that you allow me into your hearts and homes. Join us next week for another powerful episode right here on BashaniRadio.com and VerkRadio.com. I love you. You can't do a damn thing about it. Where's my theme music?